Well, listen, thank God for today. Amen. You know, if you look at the back, we have some training going on. Today, I want you to know the whole service is being recorded and taped through video and audio. We'll be putting that on the website today because we're testing. Next week, we'll be testing as well. And December 6th, we are praying that that will be the day we go live in live streaming. It's coming. Amen. So being taped, those of you at home that see me right now, we want to tell you we miss you. We love you, but I want to give a special shout out. I just this morning on the phone prior to coming in was able to talk to Edie in the hospital. And Edie, we love you. She said, I'm doing much better. I can't wait to be home. And she said, I want you to tell everybody I can't wait to be back at church fellowshipping with one another. So then Edna spoke with Edna right after that, and she says, Pastor, you wouldn't believe it. She's at home. They both have COVID. She said, I'm doing so well. I'm doing much better. I feel so much better today. I can't wait for my sister to get home and us get back in church. So let's everybody do something. Everybody on the count of three say, Edie and Edna, we love you. Edie and Edna, we love you and we miss you. So hopefully today when you see this on the website, you'll be blessed. How many of you are thankful today? I'm thankful. Let me start out with a little funny. You may think it is, you may think it's not, but I thought it was. How many of you who know me know that my comedy, I only care about if it makes me laugh? But hey, have you heard about this turkey farmer? He was always trying to breed the best perfect turkey, the best turkey he could produce. He knew that a lot of people really liked the drumsticks. I don't know if you like the drumsticks. I don't do much with the drumsticks myself. But so he set about breeding a turkey with more legs. He wanted to have a turkey with more legs. So he succeeded, and he bred a turkey that actually had six legs. And when somebody asked him, hey, how did that taste? He said, I don't know yet. I still haven't been able to catch him.
Yeah, we like that.
You like it? Well, you know, we're not sure if the pilgrims had a turkey on Thanksgiving Day in 1621. Colonist Edward Winslow's firsthand account that day said that they just had wild fowl. But however, William Bradford, the governor, he specifically said they killed many wild turkeys. You know, in 1863, many years later, President Lincoln made Thanksgiving a national holiday, and turkeys began to land on tables all across America. Not on their own accord, right? Did you know that this Thursday, on Thanksgiving Day, President Donald Trump will officially even pardon a turkey? Every president pardons one on Thanksgiving Day. Ever since 1947, a national Thanksgiving turkey has been presented to the United States of America, starting with Harry Truman, and they're pardoned. They're the most thankful turkeys. Well, during an official ceremony at the Rose Garden this Thursday, the president will pardon the turkey, meaning this turkey's life is going to be spared. I'm sure that pardoned turkey will be thankful this Thanksgiving. I'm sure he will. And if given a chance, he'll run as fast as his little two legs, not six, will carry him. But how about you? Are you planning to have turkey, maybe ham? I don't know. That's enough turkey talk for today. We're not going to really worry about pardoning turkeys here. In fact, we've purchased a turkey, a dead one already, and we're going to eat it. We're PETA people. People who eat tasty animals. Okay, I'll stop. I'm done. I promise. But let's talk truly about Thanksgiving to God. That's where it counts. That's what's important. Who has what? Who has pardoned us and given us the indescribable gift of eternal life, the wonderful gift of salvation in Christ Jesus. Amen. He's graciously blessed us in the most abundant ways. And that's what we're going to do today. So let's talk about biblical thanksgiving. And biblical thanksgiving is always, always to God. Always to God. All thanksgiving in the Bible is to God, except on two occasions. On two occasions. Out of the 168 times we read of thanksgiving or gratitude in the Bible, 166 of those times are to God. Only in Job 31:20 and once in the New Testament in Romans 16 do we see man thanking man. There's no other, not any other examples. That doesn't minimize the fact that we should thank one another, or that we should treat each other politely or kind, or that we should be giving each other, extending each other gratitude in our roles in each other's life. But it's to emphasize the fact that God is the ultimate source to whom all thanks for all things should be given. Amen? Amen. Ultimately, God. So let's look at what the Bible says this morning about thanking God, and let's look at a few questions. Why should we thank God? What should we thank God for? When do we thank God? And how do we thank God? Lord, I just want to say this morning that we thank you. Lord, let our hearts be filled with praise. Let it be filled with thanksgiving and gratitude. Lord, you know, even this morning, there's those here today who may think that things going on in life, there's not much to be thankful for. People dealing with trials and hardships, sorrow, defeat, issues. Lord, you know them all. Let us lay those at your feet this morning and show you the thankfulness and gratitude from our hearts. And let us put all of our faith and our trust in you in every aspect of our life. For you, Lord, love us. You died for us. You saved us. You care about each and every detail. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So why should we thank God? First, I want you to know, thanksgiving is about glorifying God. Thanksgiving is about glorifying God. How many of you remember the story in Luke 17 where Jesus healed the 10 lepers? Remember? He healed the 10 lepers. He sent them off to the priest. But what happened? Only one leper returned. There you go, Jim. Only one returned. A Samaritan returned to thank Jesus. The Bible says this of that occasion in Luke 17, 16. This man, he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. You see that? But let's kind of look at Jesus, how he interpreted the overall thanks. Look what he says in verse 17 and 18. Were there not 10 cleansed? Now, he knew there were. But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Basically, where are the other 9? Verse 15, now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, and notice what it says, glorifying God with a loud voice. One guy got it right. Giving thanks is giving glory to God, verse 15. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible, nowhere, if you find it, please tell me, does God ever thank man? Not one single time. It's all towards him. It's all towards him. When that one healed leper came back to thank Jesus and glorify God, Jesus didn't give off false humility. He didn't say, oh, no, it's okay. He actually deserved it, and he took that praise. He said, what'd he say? You didn't need to come back and do that. Did he do that? No. He said, where are the other 9? All 10 should be here giving glory to God. See, Jesus expected all 10 to come back and give the credit to whom the credit was due, to the glory of God. You see, a heart, all of our hearts, a voice of gratitude is not a small nor an indifferent matter to God. We're going to see this. We should all have the attitude of gratitude. in our life. That should be our attitude. It's what is expected in the Word. It's what God is looking for. It's what He's longing for. It is what He deserves and demands. And that should be our heart. Think about this. 100% of these 10 lepers, 100% of them had no problem asking for healing, did they? But 90% had a problem with thinking. Wow. I mean, Jesus put His finger on one of the darkest blots of the human heart, which one German proverb called the worst of vices, namely ingratitude. Ingratitude. Somebody once said that ingratitude is the essence of vileness. Think about that for a minute. William Arthur Ward said, there are three enemies of personal peace: regret over yesterday's mistakes, anxiety over tomorrow's problems, and ingratitude for today's blessings. Ingratitude will steal your peace. Let's not fall into the crime of the nine. What is the crime of the nine? It is robbing God of the glory due Him. It's a crime. It's robbery. But we want to say on Thanksgiving in our hearts, rather, our hearts should be full of His grace, His mercy upon us, and we should fall down on our face. We should fall down at His feet and with a loud voice thank Him and give Him the glory due His name. Amen. How many of you have been healed? Amen. Better than leprosy, I guarantee you, if you know Christ. You see, this shouldn't only be going on in our hearts today. But let's see something in God's Word. It should be going on into the house of God weekly. Look with me at Psalm 109:30. With my mouth I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord, and in the midst of many I will praise Him. 111:1, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and in the assembly. Psalm 122:1-4. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord, to which the tribes go up, and even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel. Why? To give thanks to the name of the Lord. That's one reason we come here. You should yearn to come to the assembly to praise God and give thanks to the Lord for how good He is. Amen. You see, God expects His people to come together on a regular basis to collectively thank Him, to collectively glorify Him in the form of worship. Amen. This was actually so important that David, he actually assigned a special group of Levites, did you know? Levites and priests and others to oversee the giving of thanks to the Lord in song and in instruments. In 1 Chronicles 16:4-9, listen. David, he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of His wonders. That's how important it was. It was even assigned within the assembly. How do you view Sundays? How do you view worship? What do you view the meaning of going to church? I mean, we should see every Sunday as an opportunity to publicly proclaim, to publicly thank, and give glory to God for all He has done. Amen? Amen? Where do y'all hide those microphones? Caroline, where's your microphone? Where are all those microphones? Okay. Red one, guys. So, remember in the announcements, how many of you read your announcements? Oh my, you guys got to read your announcements. I said we're going to have a time to share praise. This is your opportunity to actually apply God's word, to come and sing and shout and praise God. So I asked you in your announcements to take time to pray, and if there's something that you would like to give God glory for. Who would like to give God glory? Pastor Paul, you have to shout up.
I was reading in Hebrews 10 this morning the wonderful news that through the blood of Christ and his sacrifice, we have been freed from our sins once for all, from all sins forever.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Somebody else want to give a shout out to the Lord? Guys, okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to redo, start over again. Let's start the whole sermon over. Because I will. In Psalm 109:30, it says, okay. Yeah.
I want to thank God for salvation.
Amen. Amen.
And I want to thank God for Him not allowing me to live my life the way I started it and turning me around.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Someone else. Someone else. Praise God for something. Right here.
I want to thank God for all my family here.
Amen. Hey. Praise God. Back here.
I want to thank God for this church. It's been just such a blessing getting to know people more and more every week. And, you know, I've been here how long? And yet for me, it's like there's always somebody new to know, somebody to know better. And I just praise God for that and how they interact in my life and how He uses them.
Amen.
Praise God. My son and them got the coronavirus and now they're well.
Amen.
They're getting
Amen.
Well.
Amen. Yes, right back here. Faith. Faith is new visiting with us today for the first time.
I just want to thank God that I found a place to worship today, and I want to thank God for our outgoing, incoming, every day that is a blessing and protection from God.
Amen. I want to thank God she found a place to worship. Amen.
I want to thank God for His word and yes. for His promises, and yes. they never fail.
Amen. Are you about to read something for us?
No.
Okay. Praise God, Phil.
I'd like to praise the Lord for the joy of my salvation.
Amen. 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 Alice.
I want to praise the Lord that I can be here today after suffering the sciatic pain.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God. Jim.
Yeah, I'd like to thank the Lord for His faithfulness and His never changing, because I have that solid rock that I can stand on.
Amen. Amen. Bob.
I just want to praise the Lord for His love, His mercy, and His grace, and the opportunity to be in service for Him.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hey, you know what? It feels good to praise God, right? Do you know when we pray, it changes our heart? That's how the Lord moves in us. It feels good to praise the Lord. It really does. Be praising the Lord. Take time to thank Him every day. Glorify Him. So first we saw what? Thanksgiving is about glorifying God. Now I want you to see it's about honoring God. In Romans 1:21, we see God's indictment upon creation. Let's look at this indictment upon mankind for a moment. He says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Here we see God's indictment of mankind. Even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God. Wow. This truth is painfully evident, everyone, in our country today. It's painfully evident in the Word today. In 2 Timothy 3:1-5, Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, he gives us 19 characteristics, 19 of mankind in the last days. I'm not going to read all that. I wanted you to see it. Basically what? That the last days began when who came into the world? Jesus, right. Listen to Hebrews 1:2. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. See, God now speaks to us in these last days through his Son. We are in the last days of God's heavenly calendar. Think of that for a moment. This last days of the world that began with creation. But one may ask, well, wait a minute, though. These 19 characteristics of mankind have been going on since the fall, since sin entered the world shortly after creation began. Not just since Jesus came into the world. They can hardly serve as characteristics of the last days if they have characterized mankind since sin entered the world. So what's he mean there? Context is everything. In this context, Paul uses the last days. And when you break that down, it means the last of the last days. As we approach the end in the last days, these age-old 19 characteristics of mankind will be intensified, magnified, as men, as society will, in 3:13, like evil men and imposters, proceed from bad to worse. The last of the last days. And buried in this list of 19 characteristics, these behaviors, is that word ungrateful. It is a word that means a complete lack of thankfulness. It is used only here and one other time in the New Testament in Luke 6:35, where we read that God himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. That's the only second time that word is used. Imagine that. Look at the company of ungrateful. It doesn't keep good company. Ungrateful and evil men. Ungrateful and unholy. Ungrateful and unloving. Ungrateful, lovers of self. Ungrateful, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It doesn't keep good company. It's not a good friend to have. We probably do not look at being ungrateful as being the evil and sin that God actually sees it to be. Here in Romans 1, 24 through 32, Paul describes the sinful spiral of man downward and away from God. You see, it is a picture of what we see in society daily. But where does it all begin? Notice in verse 24, the word therefore. Therefore began when men did not what? Honor God or give God the thanks we saw earlier in verse 24. Men did not honor God, therefore. The word honor, what does it mean? It means in our English word, doxology. How many of you grew up in the church singing a doxology? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God our Father here below. Right? It's a doxology. Honor. Honor. And in this case, it is God, not us. Who deserves our honor? Yeah. Wow. This word means to glorify, magnify, praise, extol, celebrate, adorn with luster, clothed with splendor, to cause the dignity and worth of some person or thing to become manifest and acknowledged, that word honor. And it is the Creator, look verse 25, who is blessed forever, that deserves all honor, thanks, and thanksgiving. You see, I want you to understand something. Don't get too full of yourself. You can't add any glory to God. He already possesses it all. What you can do is acknowledge it and proclaim it. Wow. You see, the first steps away from God, everyone, begin with the failure to honor Him as God and to thank Him. It is no minor thing to be ungrateful. We must see it as the sinful crime that it is. It's an evil out of which all the other listed evils flow from those who do not see fit to acknowledge God. And I want to give God a praise. I want to praise Him that He died for me, loved me, while I did not love Him, while I was yet a sinner. The only reason I have the ability to honor God is because He transformed my dead heart. Amen. Our country has moved away from acknowledging God as God, and it is a country full of ingratitude towards God. Amen. But think about this. If ungratefulness characterizes the lost and dying world of unbelievers, and if we even see ungratefulness can characterize the end days church, it should never characterize you as a born-again believer. I can tell you, me personally, there's nothing more frustrating for me as a pastor than to see people of gloominess in the house of God. I mean, I'm not talking about coming to the house of God where you're in sorrow, where you're in mourning, where you're in a trial, and you need the body to uplift you. But what about that person that's always gloomy? They're known to be gloomy. I can just look out there and I can predict every Sunday I will see the gloom and doom on their face. Is that what God wants? No, we should say, Lord, look into my heart. Does my face show my heart? Does my mind show my heart? Am I full of gratitude and honor to you? Well, let me display that. Because listen, how we are in heaven will not be that way. Amen? Amen? Amen. A little smile from time to time can go an extra mile. I just made that up. Don't let it characterize us. So we've seen that Thanksgiving is about glorifying God. It's about honoring God. Now, guess what else? It's about blessing God. It's about blessing God. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. Psalm 145:10. Let that verse, remember I always say, look at every little word, your godly ones. Well, hey, your godly ones shall bless you. Right there we see a qualifier, the opposite of ingratitude, godliness. Right, your godly ones. Blessing, what is blessing? Blessing is speaking well of God. It comes from the word to kneel. To kneel. You with me? It means to get down on your knees of your heart and verbalize all God is to you and all God has done for you and to thank Him. Let me bless you, Lord. Psalm 145 is David's final psalm. And it is all about blessing and thanking God every day. Listen to verse 1 and 2. I will extol you, O my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. I will bless you every day, Lord. I would suggest maybe this Thanksgiving, using this psalm as a guideline for blessing God as you come together with family. For example, look at this psalm. David blesses God's name for what in verse 8? His grace towards us, His mercy upon us, His patience and loving kindness towards us. Look at verse 14, His sustaining of us. In verse 17, His kindness towards us. Verse 18, His nearness to us. Verse 20, His watching over us. Wow. It says in verse 21, one day all flesh will bless His holy name. Amen. But until that day, let's bless His name every day. One day all mankind will bless the name of God. So we see that Thanksgiving is about what? Glorifying God, honoring God, blessing God, and now it's about praising God. Wait a minute. We're going to articulate this a little bit. Look at this, Hebrews 13, 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Blessing? I thought you just said that was blessing too. While both blessing and praising are verbal and extolling God, there's a slight, subtle nuance and difference in the Hebrew word. The word bless comes from the word to kneel. The word praise comes from the word to shout. You see the difference? In fact, we get our English word hallelujah from praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's to shout and praise. To bless God leans towards reverence, to kneel. To praise God while always including reverence leans towards exuberance, happiness, joy, exuberance and shouting and praising. The NIV, it doesn't make any distinction, and it translates the word bless as the same as to praise, but there are different nuances here, both being different, such as worship, meaning to bow down, bless, meaning to kneel, praise, meaning to shout. You see, we have to understand something. There is no real praise to God or for God without a thanksgiving of heart. You with me? David said, my praise is continually of you. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Psalm 71, 6 and 8. How does that happen? How does that happen in one's life? You see, it happens when we keep his blessings on our minds and on our hearts. Psalm 92, 1 and 4. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. You see, you must keep God's blessings in your life ever forefront on your mind, ever forefront on your heart, and you will not be able to help but to sing praises to him. What has God done for you that makes you thankful? David said we should count our blessings. In Psalm 103:2, he says, forget none of them. I have a hard time remembering all of them, let alone forgetting none of them. The problem we often have is that we forget many of them because we take them for granted. We take them for granted. Someone once said, the only thing necessary to make us unappreciative of a blessing from God is that we should receive the blessing often and regularly. If I took you to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse every day for the next 365 days and you had a 2-inch thick filet mignon, you're not going to think of it as the same on day 10, on day 300. When we get blessed by God often and regularly, we become complacent and we become callous. You and I were kind of talking about that, Ross, last Thursday, not on Thanksgiving, but the callousness that can happen in our heart towards the things of God. What are you receiving often and regularly that you've taken for granted? Many times, all that is needed to appreciate it, listen to me. Many times, all that is needed to appreciate a blessing from God is to lose it. Is to lose it. Do you possess good health or fair health? Thank God. Do you live in a comfortable home anywhere in America, most likely? Thank God. Do you have enough to eat? Will you starve today? No. Thank God. Do you have a job? Are you free? Do you have a friend? What if you just have one friend? Thank God. Do you have people who love you, even if you have people who do not? Thank God. Amen. No matter the trial you're in, is that trial exposing in your life, like we saw in the James series, to count it all joy? Is that trial exposing the things in your life that should be full of gratitude and thankfulness? Thank God. Do we consciously, regularly thank God for what He gives us? We should. You see, what we generally tend to do is to concern ourselves, think about this, with what we don't have. What we do not have. And that leads to discontentment, grumbling, anger, depression, materialism. I want more. Did you know this is true, that we actually came close to not having Thanksgiving Day in America? It was actually came close to a fasting day. Tom Olson in Now Magazine, he revealed, so when the early settlers were discussing their hardships, and one person suggested, hey, we should have a day of fasting and prayer. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But another person stood up and said that they've been dwelling too much on their problems. It was time to emphasize their blessing and focus on those blessings. Isn't that amazing? He said the colony was making good progress. The streams are full of fish. The forest has plenty of game. But more importantly, he reminded them that they now had that for which they had been coming and looking for, the reason they left their homeland. We have liberty. We want a day of Thanksgiving. You see, when you're focused on what you don't have, or focused on your trials, or focused on your problems, yes, we should pray. Yes, we should take that to the Lord. But they said, no, let's look at what we can be thankful for. And did they have a lot to be thankful for? Amen? Amen. So let's thank God for His many blessings. But especially, we hear this all the time in praise. Let's thank God for our salvation that Bob thanked God for this morning in Grace Intercessors. How many of you want to give a shout out to God right now for your salvation? Amen. Amen. If you think about this, all the temporal blessings from God, they pale in comparison to the spiritual blessing of salvation. Amen. As already stated, the Hebrew word praise is where we get our word hallelujah. To be able to say by grace alone, hallelujah, I'm redeemed. Hallelujah, I'm forgiven. Hallelujah, I've been made new. Amen. Wow, does that transform the heart? Oh my, thank you, God. Only the born again Christian can enter that type of realm of thanksgiving. Because you're the only one who can give that type of thanks. Isn't that an amazing privilege to be one of those? Yes. This Thanksgiving, let's not forget any of His blessings. Let me challenge you to get alone before God this Thanksgiving. Make a list of your blessings. In Grace Intercessors this morning, we sang it. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Come on. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Right? Can we do that? Can you do that this Thanksgiving? I believe you can. So just when you thought I was done, I'm not. Thanksgiving is about glorifying God, honoring God, blessing God, praising God. It's also, Thanksgiving is about worshiping God. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Boy, I guarantee you, How many of you enjoy worshiping God? I know this. Our brothers and sisters in heaven, they know how to do it better than we do. But I'm going to get there one day. I'll get better. All the things we have spoken about are gathered up here in this word. Remember, worship, bow down, bless, kneel, pray, shout. We will not be able to contain our thanksgiving when we see the living Jesus Christ in glory. Amen. You won't contain it. Trust me, you ultra-conservative people, you'll actually go, woo-hoo. Amen. Oh, come on. Today, because of our sin natures, that's the problem. That's why we don't fully know how much we owe to God's mercy and His grace. Listen to this poem. When this passing world is done, when has sunk the glorious sun? When we stand with Christ in glory, looking over life's finished story, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee that as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, the Lord shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Imagine that. We may not know how much we owe, but we know enough to worship God today. Amen. Every day with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is about glorifying God, honoring God, blessing God, praising God, worshiping God, and let's close with this today. Finally, Thanksgiving is about magnifying God. Amen. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify Him with thanksgiving, and it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hooves. Amen. Psalm 69:30-31. What's he mean there? It pleases God more than superficial religious practice. The ox and the bull, they were to be sacrificed, but God cared more about the heart behind the sacrifice, behind the observance. He cared more about the song. We're living in a day where God is minimized and man is magnified. That needs to do a 180. Paul Dixon, in a management magazine, he wrote this management magazine. He said this: "Never try to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time, and it annoys the pig." He went on to say, "Someone once likened ungrateful people to pigs, who, with their noses to the ground, gobble up the apples that fall from the orchard tree without ever looking up to see where those apples came from." You see, we are living in a nation of ungrateful pigs who gobble up all the apples and don't see fit to acknowledge God any longer. Amen. Romans 1:28. And we say, okay, Lord, we know we live in that area. We know that's all around us, but not for us. You see, when we live grateful lives, and we see where the apples have come from, and God gets all the glory, you become an instrument of God's in a dark world. Amen. To point other people to see those apples. Let all who seek you and rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation say continually, Psalm 70, verse 4, let God be magnified. Amen. Let what? Let all who seek you rejoice. Let all who seek you be glad in you, and let those who, what? Love your salvation. Do what? Let God be magnified. I'm going out to work today. Let God be magnified. I'm getting out of bed today and I look at my wife. Let God be magnified. I'm going to deal with my family. Let God be magnified. No matter what comes into my life, no matter what decision happens, Lord, let not sin rule in me. Let me not make the wrong choice. Let God be magnified. I want to be used for your glory. You see, Thanksgiving is about God glorifying Him, honoring Him, blessing Him, praising Him, worshiping Him, and magnifying Him. Praise God. Isn't it a great thing to be able to engage in all of that? Clearly then, hearts of little thanks or no thanks at all are basically hearts beating at a far distance from the Lord. And he doesn't intend that. He doesn't want that. Colossians 2:17 says, we should have hearts overflowing with gratitude. I mean, can you imagine? How many of you have gone to the grocery store, you have a bag and stuff's falling out everywhere because you try to carry too much into the house? That's what I do. Shannon says, hey, you know, we go out there, lay it on me. What's your heart like? Any gratitude in there? Hold on a minute. I'm trying to find it. Oh, it's, you know, like a woman in her purse trying to find her key. Overflowing. Colossians 2:17. We should be dropping it on the sidewalk. We should be dropping it where we go. We should be juggling our gratitude. It's overflowing from our heart. What you got there? Gratitude for the Lord. That's what God wants for you. And it comes, my friends, here it is, very simplistic. It comes when you're in the Word and when you're in prayer and when you take the time of reflection and you thank God for His blessings. He will overflow your heart with gratitude. Your heart will be bountifully overflowing when you see how God bountifully loved you and dealt with you. A thankful heart will change your life. And it will change the way you look at everything. Oliver Wendell Holmes, as we close, praise team, once said, if one should give me a dish of sand and tell me there were particles of iron in it, I might look for them with my eyes. And I may search for them with my clumsy fingers and be unable to detect the iron in the sand. But let me take a magnet and sweep through the sand, and how it would draw to itself the most invisible particles by the mere power of attraction. He goes on to say, the unthankful heart, like my finger in the sand, discovers no mercy. So let the thankful heart sweep through the day. As a magnet finds the iron, so will in every hour some heavenly blessings. Only the iron in God's sand is gold. Isn't that beautiful? If today your heart is filled with grumbling, if it's filled with ingratitude, ask God to forgive you. And then set your heart on Him until your heart begins to overflow with thanksgiving, as the Holy Spirit will change that, no matter what your circumstances may be. Let's be brothers and sisters who come to the house of the Lord, and Monday through Saturday, we praise God. Amen. We thank God. You will be happier for it. God will be blessed. He will be pleased. It is truly, truly the abundant life. Amen? Amen. Happy Thanksgiving, my brothers and sisters. I hope the best for you this week with your families. Take moments, take time as a family, and praise and thank God. You know, I'm off trail here a little bit, but something hit me hard today in Grace Intercessors. We can often look at the basket less full than what's in the basket. Eldon Kibbe's first prayer today was, Lord, thank you for Tim, his wife, my grandchildren, Clementine, Claude, and her kids, after he and Sandy had lost 3 children. And I thought to myself, that is an attitude of gratitude.
Amen.
Faith, trust, sorrow and hardship, yet thankful, full of joy, trusting in the sovereignty of God.
Amen.
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 Lord, I just thank you today. I thank you for the testimonies each time I come to church. A testimony from Edie, a testimony from Edna, a prayer from Eldon, a prayer from Pastor Paul, a singing, a line in Sunday school, the worship service, the singing to you. Lord, may it all glorify you. But I thank you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters who edify me, how you use them in my life. Lord, I thank you for you. Lord, we want to glorify you, worship you, magnify you, praise you, kneel before you. Lord, we want to give you all of our heart, all of our mind. Lord, each and every day, let us love to be in your word. Let us grow in fellowship with you. Let us be prayer warriors, Lord, where you mold our minds and mold our hearts. Lord, make us kingdom citizens in the way we live here on this earth. I thank you, Lord, for your continual enriching work of the Spirit in my life and those lives here. Let us go out, Lord, in a dark world who does not see fit to acknowledge you as God. And let's go out and let us proclaim you. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. Let us close in praising your wonderful name. Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we give you glory. In your name, Jesus Christ, amen.